Our sermon text this morning is from Luke chapter 23, verse 55 through chapter 24, verse 12. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
Thank you. You may be seated. And I'll give you an opportunity to take out your Bibles and join me there in Luke chapter 23 and 24. So the end of 23 and beginning of 24 is Dr. Bob Redforce, where we'll be. I'm excited to be with you, excited to open God's Word. I've enjoyed hearing you sing. You sang loud today, and I thank you for that, and I praise God for that. He is worthy of our praise, and part of that is through singing. So this morning, as we turn to this very familiar text, at least to many, this very familiar text, the reason that we're here today, the reason that we celebrate Easter in such a special way is because what Dr. Bob just read is true. And so we're excited about this. As we kind of get into the mindset of what we're going to look at today, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had something promised to you, something that was coming, something that you were looking forward to, and it was something so special that you didn't want to have to wait? And I know there are many things that are that way, but I'm particularly asking something that you didn't want to wait for, not because of your excitement and anticipation, but almost out of fear that if you had to wait, that maybe that thing wouldn't ever actually arrive. Have you ever had that feeling before? You didn't want this thing to have a chance to be untrue. It's almost that the promise was so big that you wanted it right now because you wanted to be sure that you were going to receive this. Maybe some of you felt that as you got closer to retirement. You had worked all of these years and you were looking forward to not having to set that alarm clock and get up and come in. But it's almost a feeling of, is this going to be real? Am I actually going to have a day when I just sleep in and wake up and have coffee whenever I would like? Some of you may have felt that way as you anticipated the birth of a child. It's waiting in the anticipation and you're just ready now. Maybe it was a new job that you were going to begin and you wanted to start because you were almost concerned that if you didn't get started that something was going to happen. Maybe it was a promotion that was coming your way. I remember having this exact feeling whenever I was graduating school for the last time. I had done all of the work. I had completed all of my courses. Everything was finished. I had successfully defended my project. Everything was done and graduation was lined up. But it's almost like my diploma couldn't get here quickly enough. There was a sense in me that I almost kept waiting for something to go wrong, that I was going to get a call, that something wasn't right, that something wasn't completed, that something wasn't paid, and I just wasn't going to get to walk. I wasn't going to graduate on that day. What we're celebrating today, brothers and sisters, is that the greatest promise that has ever been made is one that we don't have to wait for. The work of completion has already come. It is finished. Jesus' death and resurrection that have already taken place guarantee our acceptance by God through faith in Jesus, and His work secures our eternal forgiveness. It is finished. We can rest in the already completed work of Jesus Christ. Amen? We celebrate on Easter because the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and so we know that all of God's promises are true. We're going to see this account that Dr. Bob already read for us in three different things today. We're going to see that reminder that God's promises are true. We're also then going to see some responses to that, some implications of the text, if you will. We're going to see that we should therefore remember the promises that God has made to us, and we should also recite those promises. So here's the sermon in a sentence this morning. If your donut high wears off and you fall asleep, I want you to hear this before we get going. All God's promises are true. Therefore, we should remember and recite them. This is the argument that I offer to you today. Let me read the first part of that text for us again, and then I'm going to pray and we'll consider it together. Back in 23:55, it said, "The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.'" If y'all would join me and let's pray before we consider this text together. Father God, this is a glorious day, but Lord, we're reminded here on this Easter day that it's not here on Easter Sunday 2026 that Jesus rose from the grave, that this work has been completed for a long time now. Father, we come here to celebrate it today in a special way, in bright colors, setting aside all the other things, making plans to be here on this morning. But Lord, we're also reminded today that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ together corporately every single Sunday. This is your day. And Father, this is why it's your day. You are the Creator, and you are also the Redeemer. And this is the day that all of your promises were sealed. So Father, help us. I know that there are many things to be done today. There are egg hunts and there are lunches and there are family gatherings. But Father, for now, I pray that you would help our hearts to not think about those things, to help our minds to not be distracted by anything inside or outside of this room. But for just a few minutes, help us to set aside everything else and focus on your word and listen intently to your spirit, Lord, that our faith would be strengthened and we would be more obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here we see that there were some very faithful women. There are at least five of them according to verse 10. These women had followed Jesus in life and now they have come to honor his body in death. We know that they expected to find the dead body of Jesus when they got there that morning by what they were carrying. They were carrying burial spices. They were carrying these good-smelling ointments, these things that you would put on a body, that you would anoint a dead body in order to honor the one that had died. Yet what they found on that glorious morning was not the dead body of Jesus, but I want you to hear this. What they found on that glorious morning guarantees to us that all of God's promises are true. When they got to the tomb that they had already been to, on Friday, the tomb that they went to and watched Jesus' dead body laid in there. They knew they weren't at the wrong spot. They were at the right tomb. They were at the same tomb. They were at the tomb that Jesus' body was laid in. But when they got there on Sunday, on the third day, the body was not there. And they are told why in just a few minutes. They're told because Jesus was alive. He had come back to life. He had been resurrected just as he said that he would. This is the glorious hope of Easter. We talked about it in the welcome and beginning of our first service earlier this morning. If you weren't here, we talked about how this is the first fruits. Jesus' resurrection guarantees to us that he is stronger than anything, even death. And if he can bring himself back to life, then we know that we can trust the promise that he will one day bring all of us back to life after we have died as well. That's why this is such a big deal. His promises are all true. Now, you might say, Brother Zach, that's a bit of a reach for you to say that because Jesus' dead body wasn't in the tomb, all of God's promises are true. Yes, it means that this promise is true, but how can you say that that means all of his promises are true? Well, I'll give you my thoughts behind that. The first, I'm working on two premises here. The first premise is this, that if the most difficult and most seemingly far-fetched promise is true, if the most difficult task is completed, then I trust that all of the rest of them will be as well. If I try and put it into the form of an illustration, I would say if Philip Ross were to tell me, Brother Zach, I can throw a football 100 yards in the air. I'm not a betting man. But we're not going there. That's not what we're talking about. If he were to tell me that, and then he were to prove to me that he can do it, I drove over to Lloyd Star, and I walked up to the football field, and he stood at one goal line, and he threw that ball, and it landed on the other goal line. You know what he wouldn't have to prove to me? That he can throw a ball 75 yards. He wouldn't have to prove to me that he could also throw a ball 50 yards. Because if he can do that, then I know that he can do this, and I know that he can do this. And brothers and sisters, this is what I'm trying to tell you about the dead body of Jesus coming back to life. If he shows me he can do that, I believe he can do all of it. Every bit of it. He did the hardest thing. Right? He, as God, promised that he would, this promises throughout the Old Testament, that he would one day leave heaven and he would come to earth and he would be born in human flesh. God in human flesh, born of a virgin. Seems far-fetched, but Jesus fulfilled it. Eternal God in human flesh. He grows up as a small boy to a working class family in a regular old village. And you know what it's like whenever little boys are growing up. But can you believe this? That little boy never sinned one single time. Never talked back to his mama. Never disrespected his daddy. Never told a lie. Never did anything that would cause him to lose his guiltless standing. His promise of being perfect and spotless without blemish. He fulfilled that. And then, even though he was perfect, he died a criminal's death. He allowed himself to be executed, and he actually died. It wasn't a show. It wasn't that he fainted for a little while. He was dead. Heart stopped beating. Lungs stopped breathing. He was dead. And then just like he said, on the third day, he came back to life. And this is the first premise that I have for you. If he can do that, then you can trust that he'll do anything else that he says he'll do. All of God's promises are true. And then the second premise, and I'll be a little shorter here, but it's what I've already talked about. It's that many of the other great promises of God are based on this promise being true. The promise of, us having eternal life, of us being able to be raised from the dead. That is based on this promise. And so since the second premise is that since this promise is true, we can trust all of those promises will be fulfilled as well. I can believe that Jesus is actually the first fruit, that he is the first one to be raised from the dead to live forever. People always like to say, what about Lazarus? Lazarus was raised from the dead and he died again and then was raised. So now he has something pretty special. But this is what I'm telling you about Jesus. He was the first person to die and come back to life to live eternally. But now we, through faith in Jesus, inherit that same promise. If Jesus waits long enough to return, every person in this room will one day close our eyes in death. But the great promise for us is that though we die in this body, we will be raised eternally by the power of God, just as Jesus was raised from the dead. And so point one this morning, the main point, the overarching point is this: God's promises are true. It's simple, but it is profound. All of the promises of God, this biggest one, this hardest one, this seemingly most far-fetched one, it's true. And so we know that we can trust that all of the other promises are true as well. You can trust everything that God says. You can trust everything that His Word says. None of it's too big. None of it is going to be left unfulfilled. It is secure. It is assured. And so I want us to hear that. We're here on Easter to celebrate that Jesus is alive, and we know because of that we can trust everything that He says to us. You may be here today. You came because it's Easter and your mama or your grandma wanted you to come. Or maybe you came because you heard that we're having free donuts and you love donuts and the price of everything's going up nowadays. So it's worth it to get up and come have donuts. But for whatever reason you might find yourself here, I want you to hear this. If you're on your phone, put it down for just a moment. I want you to know that you can find rest and hope and joy and love and acceptance and peace in Jesus. For today and for tomorrow, no matter what's coming tomorrow, no matter what's coming years from now, you can have these things in Jesus Christ. Because He has proven that He is bigger than anything that you will ever face, even death itself. So I want to give you what I believe are two appropriate responses to this truth. Jesus is alive. All God's promises are true. How do we respond to that? What should we do in light of this truth? So the first response is this: we should remember His promises. We should remember His promises. If those promises are true, and as I'm going to argue that they are effectual for our life, they make a difference, I'm going to say the fair and appropriate response is that we would remember those promises. So our insurance company happens to have this deal where we get lots of different perks for being part of it. Not only do we get insurance, but because we're a member of this insurance company, we get discounts at hotels or rental cars, or if you buy, and many of you are part of things like, if you're a member of AARP, if you're a member of AAA, you don't only get roadside assistance, but you get, right, whatever, this discount at Disney or whoever. But here's the thing: if you're not aware of those discounts, if you don't know that because I'm a member of AAA that I get 15% off if I book through Choice Hotels, then what's going to happen is you're going to book through Choice Hotels and you're never going to get the benefit of that thing that you are actually owed. Why? Because it's not yours? No, it's yours, but because you were unaware of it. Because you were either ignorant or because you forgot it. It's almost like this promise doesn't even exist for you. although it's right there and it's available to you. Friends, I don't want us to live our lives missing out on so many of the promises of God because we're unaware of those promises. Because we're unaware of what we have inherited through faith in Jesus. Because we talk about we have received eternal life. Praise God, that's true. We talk about the fact that all our sins are removed, and praise God, that's true. But do you know that there's more? There's more to the promise that comes through faith in Jesus than just what happens after you die. There are promises for today. These women, to me, seem like an analogy for so many of us. They're walking around after being promised by Jesus himself that on the third day he would come back to life. Rather than celebrating that, they're walking around carrying burial spices. They're walking in the dark looking for the dead body of Jesus after he had already told them, "You're not going to find me. I'm going to come back to life." The promise had been made and the promise was true, and they were missing out on it because they had forgotten this promise. We see it in the text. They get there. And there, the angel's there, and the angel starts to speak to them, and they're scared. And then he reminds them. He reminds them of what they've already forgotten. He says in verse 6, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And then verse 8, we read this, "And they remembered his words." Right? When they were reminded, they remembered. But apparently, before this, they had forgotten. And so many of us live our lives this way. We walk around looking everywhere for answers. And I'm not talking like answers to a math problem or how do I change the oil. Looking for real answers. How do I deal with this thing that has just happened in my life that feels overwhelming? How can I get through this? How do I find purpose and meaning in life? And we're searching everywhere. We're asking every AI bot there is. We're asking every coworker that we have. When God has already promised that he would give wisdom to us freely and abundantly if we would just ask him, and we ask everybody except for him. Because we've forgotten that promise. So many of us go through life feeling unseen and unheard. Nobody notices me. Nobody cares what I think. Yet God has promised that he hears every word that we pray. That his eyes are on us and he never rests and he never sleeps. And he sees you and he knows you. And he knows where you are and he cares for you. Yet we're walking around feeling like nobody cares because we've missed this promise of God. And there's so many more. They go on and on. But I want to say this to you. If you're here this morning and you feel unloved or useless or defeated or guilty or hopeless or alone, then I want you to remember the truth of the gospel this morning. That if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are not unloved. You are loved more than you could ever imagine. God loves you so much that he would send his son to die in your place. And if you have faith in Jesus, you are not in any way useless. We feel like there's nothing I have to contribute. There's nothing that I can do. But I want you to hear this, that when you came to have faith in Jesus, he gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has gifted you in a particular way, and you are important in your local church and in the kingdom of God. You are vital. Go read Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Those that are walking around feeling defeated, you're just worn out. Everything has beaten you down. I want you to know this, that through faith in Jesus, you've already received victory over your greatest enemies. Sin and evil and death. All of the things that have ensnared you for so long, the things that you have done that you don't want to do anymore, you have power through the Spirit to stop doing those things. You're not defeated, you are victorious. Those that feel guilty, you just walk around everywhere all the time feeling shame because of who you used to be and what you used to do. You think everybody that you see looks at you and all they can see is who you used to be. Those habits, those addictions, the way that you used to talk to people. I want you to know this, that through faith in Jesus, your sin and your shame are gone. When God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Christ. You're no longer guilty. You don't have to live in the shame of your former actions. God has made you new. If you're here today and you feel alone, I just want you to remember the promise of God, that He never leaves His children. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. He never has, and He never will. He is with you, even in the darkest hour when you feel all alone. God is with you. But friends, these promises don't help in many ways if we don't remember them. Yes, they're still true. Yes, my sins are still forgiven whether I remember it or not. But the promise that God is with you to help you not feel lonely has to be remembered for you to not feel lonely. The promise to receive wisdom if I ask for it is only going to be effective if I ask for that wisdom. We need to remember the promises of God. Let us not be ignorant. Let us not be forgetful of these beautiful promises. The last thing I'll give you, the other response I think that's appropriate that we see displayed in these women and that we should take on, is that we should recite His promises. We should remember His promises. Because they're true, we should remember His promises. And because they're true, we should recite His promises. Look at verse 9. What the women did when they remembered the truth, when they saw the empty tomb, what did they do? Verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. This is what they did. They took what those of you that have been in church long enough to know many of the hymns in the hymn book, these are what we refer to as the wonderful words of life. They took the wonderful words of life, the promise of the gospel, and they went and shared it. They went and told people it was too glorious for them to keep to themselves. So they went and said, Jesus is alive. He's not there. His body's gone. There were some angels. The stone was rolled away. They tell the whole story. They served as witnesses of what they had seen and what they had experienced. And what do you expect to happen? You expect these women to go and to be witnesses. And everybody that they tell believes and rejoices with excitement. That's what we want whenever we leave these doors on Easter Sunday or any week and we go and we tell the gospel. That's what we want. I tell somebody the truth of Jesus at Broma's or at Walmart or at work, and I expect them to fully accept Him right then. It's not how it always goes. Right in verse 9 here, it says, they returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And look at verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. You know, sometimes that happens for us. I don't know if you've ever gone out sharing the gospel with people, going on a mission trip, going to do evangelistic work. But if you do, this is going to happen at some point. If you do it enough times, somebody's going to look at you like you're crazy. They'll do it. Somebody at work's going to write you off as just one of those religious nuts. And they're going to block you on Facebook and not listen to the things that you post. But you know, that doesn't change the call of Jesus that we would go to make disciples of all nations. Doesn't change the call of Jesus that we would be His witnesses, that we would be fishers of men. It doesn't matter if other people accept it every time or not. The work is still the work that we have been given. And because God's promises are true, we should go and recite those promises to other people. But can I tell you what will happen sometimes? There's a story that I've heard before and had forgotten and read again over the last week or so. And it's so a story that starts promising and gets really sad. There was this woman, and she had a son, and she started to raise this son understanding the truth of God's Word, teaching him about Jesus, teaching him the Bible, teaching him the things of the faith. And she was devout. She was a devout Christian, loving follower of Christ, and she was teaching her son. But when he was 6 years old, the lady died. I told y'all, it gets sad. And the boy spent a lot more time with his dad. His dad was captain of a merchant ship. And so the boy would go with his dad out sailing. He worked on the ship from a young age. And for all intents and purposes, seems to have forgotten the faith of his mother. He lives a sinful life. He eventually joins the Navy. And he was such a difficult to deal with person that he ends up getting kicked off the Navy ship that he was serving on. And that seems pretty bad, but then it gets even worse than that. He ends up joining a ship. He becomes a human trafficker because he joins a ship that is transporting men and women and children that have been kidnapped. He becomes captain eventually of a slave trading ship. And it seems that for all intents and purposes, this woman's sharing of the gospel, teaching of her faith, is lost. All of it was worthless. It was in vain. Until one day, when the man's on a ship, the boy's grown up, he's a man, he's on a ship, and a storm hits. And the storm is so serious that some of the people on the boat drown, and the boy thinks he's going to, or the man thinks he's going to. And he remembers these teachings about Jesus, and he remembers these teachings about God and the teachings of the Bible, and he cries out to God, and he calls on Jesus, and he ends up being saved. He's spared. He doesn't die on the ship, and he goes on and lives a long life, and later in life, he wrote these words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And later in the song, "The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures." That's what we're talking about this morning. "He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." Friends, this is the story of John Newton, who wrote the song "Amazing Grace," among other hymns. And this work of this mother that seemed like it was in vain and was useless was not. And God has used that in a mighty way throughout the ages. And friends, this is what I want you to hear. Sometimes when you share the gospel with other people, it might seem to be for nothing, but it's not. For one, it is you showing your obedience and faithfulness to God. It's an act of worship that you would obey Him even when it's hard. I want you to know this, you also have no idea what the Lord may do with that. These women tell the story. The tomb's empty. The angels were there. They think it's an idle tale. They don't believe them. But you know what it did? It piqued the interest of Peter, who gets up and runs, and he leaves that empty tomb marveling. Because of what they said, he went to investigate on his own, and it changed him forever. And maybe your words of sharing the truth of the gospel, of sharing God's promises, of sharing that people can feel loved and accepted and find hope and peace, it might change your friend or your coworker or your family member's life in eternity, forever and ever. Friends, let us be people that believe God's promises enough to tell them to other people. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning, and we're going to have a time of response, and I don't know exactly how you need to respond. I know this. If you're here today and you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, that's how you need to respond. That's where it all starts. Before you receive the promises, before you're fulfilling these things, before you're telling other people, you have to personally believe. And so I ask you this morning, are you here? And for the first time, you understand these things. If so, I would invite you to respond by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I'll be here at the front if you need somebody to talk with you about that. Brother Don Hollis, one of our other pastors, is going to be at the back. You can go see him. You can come see me. We'd love to have a conversation with you about that. I also want to ask you, are some of you here that are Christians today, but you recognize that you have not done a good job of remembering the promises of God? You realize today you don't know His Word. You can't recall those promises. If that's you, I would say that an appropriate response would be for you to commit yourself to that. Commit yourself to learning God's Word, to memorizing it, to putting it in your heart, so that when there are times that you feel things that are not true or true, that you would remember the truth of God's Word. And the last response I have is, if you're here today, and it's been a really long time since you shared the truth of the gospel with somebody else, you shared about the difference that God has made in your life, then I would ask you, I would urge you by the teaching of God's Word to commit yourself to this week, just asking somebody at work, a friend, somebody at the ball field, hey, do you know why we celebrate Easter? What a great way to segue into having a conversation. Do you know why we celebrate Easter? But if you haven't shared the gospel, do that, because God's promises are true and they're worth remembering and they're worth reciting. So you respond however the Lord's leading you to. You can pray where you are. You can sing. You can come and see me or Brother Don. But you respond as the Lord leads.